Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com. Helping you achieve your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Kids, every morning you hear me talking about the same thing. Powering down a liquid IV on the way to work. I finally, on RPR, I just said, dude, can they not come on as a sponsor? Because I'm drinking this shit every single day. It would be the easiest thing for me to promote in the world. And we reached out, and you said, yes, we... Yeah, let's do it. Thank God. So finally, I was like, dude, come on the show. Let me talk about it. Brandon Cohen's here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. I asked you the pronunciation right before we came on. I didn't know if it was a cone, like my boy Mark Cohn, who sings Walking in Memphis. I'm a gigantic cone head. I love Walking in Memphis.
What song?
Walking in Memphis.
How's that go?
I'm walking in Memphis. Walking with my feet 10 feet off a beer.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it. Okay. I knew what it was whole time.
I didn't know. Dude, you never know who's a Conehead and who's not. There was a remake version of it later, and I wasn't too amped about it. So obviously, whenever I can give Mark Cohn a shine, I will. But you're Cohen, and I didn't know if you were related, so I wanted to get that out of the way at the top. You're not related to Mark Cohn then, okay?
Not related and different pronunciation.
All right. Just I always want to check. The closer I get to Cone, the closer I get to divinity.
Yeah, a lot of people say I look like Wesley Snipes, but we're not related either.
Yeah, no relation whatsoever. Nah,
we just kind of look similar in the face mostly.
Yeah. I wanted to chat with you here about two things. One, do you have stock? Because if so, I would buy it. I drink this every single day. Two, do you know whoever makes Core Water? Because every morning I dump it in one of those things of Core Water. Not a sponsor, but God damn it, if it doesn't fit perfectly in there and that's the right amount of liquid I need to get my day started.
Well, one, always got stock for you. So just let me know when you need more. And I don't know anyone personally at Core Water, but it sounds like it would be a great collab.
It's a weird tube. It's like a long little tube.
And it's got a wide mouth too, which is good for pouring things into. I feel like that's probably why you like it.
I have a wide mouth.
Yeah.
So. Obviously, there's a lot of jokes you could insert there in dicks. We're not going to do that today, Dan. We're going to be classy. We're going to be above that.
You could probably fit that entire liquid IV double wall container into your mouth
easily. Right, like without question, I could.
That one, the white one.
Without question, I could. Now, when you said stock, I didn't mean like stock up on the supplies. I meant are you guys going to be an IPO soon? I feel like your company is big enough. Is it?
We actually just got acquired back in October, so we were. I was running it for about 9 years, like bootstrapping it. And then the last like 2 or 3 years, it just, you know, the business absolutely took off, which has been incredible. And then we actually got acquired by Unilever in October of 2020, which was pretty incredible.
That's amazing, man.
Unilever is publicly traded.
Yeah. When that call comes down, what's the first thing you did that night? Because everybody always wants to know, like when you get acquired, you've worked your ass off. What do you do that evening after you get that call?
Yeah, it was a super weird time, right? It was like October of 2020, and like COVID's going on, and it's like normally I would just have I'd get all my friends and family together and just celebrate, but we had to do a lot of stuff remote and via Zoom and FaceTime and stuff. So it sort of was like this really delayed thing, which I think was probably a blessing because I probably would have gone out and done some crazy things, but because it was COVID, it didn't all happen at the same time. So now 6 months later in April, now I'm starting to really enjoy it. And you know, now that the vaccine's out and stuff like that, I'm going to really be able to open it up and have a little bit of fun.
Cool. Hey, so when did you say you guys got acquired?
October of 2020. So like 6 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Man. Relatively recently. Dude, if I were you, I would rage. I've had some friends that have got their companies acquired. One of them, the amount of cocaine he did that night was I mean, absurd, where I was like, dude, you're going to die. Like, live so you can spend some of this money and enjoy yourself. And he was like, I never thought I would have this in my life.
Alive.
You know, we're going through a similar process right now in the early stages of it with a hard seltzer that we have coming out. And, you know, we've been developing this for about 8 months now. We finally dialed in the flavors, and that's getting ready to come out. And that's always the goal, right, is to get acquired and live an easier life but still maintain control of your product. Are they cool like that? Do they have you, you know, still dialed into the flavors and all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, part of the reason why we went then, we had a lot of different groups, you know, that we were talking to, like big acquirers. And the reason we went with them was because, you know, we were really being able to keep running the business the way we've been running it. So that was a big reason we chose them. And yeah, so, you know, we're running it, you know, mostly the way we used to. Obviously, a bunch of new resources. And, you know, we were only sold in the United States. And now there's all this opportunity for global expansion, which was one of the big reasons we did this, aside from the financial reasons. Mm-hmm. So the brand could become a global international brand. You know, when you're growing that fast, you don't have the resources to do some things, and international was one of those. And so, now we're, you know, we're rolling things out internationally, and it's been a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, because it's hard, and nobody really knows or appreciates how hard it is, right? You got to kind of be in it.
To grow organically, you mean?
To grow organically,
we put all of our own money into this too.
Yeah, and to scale, when you're scaling quickly, and you're like, oh shit, I got to hire more employees and everything else, and then benefits and all that other stuff. And it's on you, right? It's not on a board of people or anything else. And you're like, oh my God, I can't sleep at night. Mm. I feel awful. And therefore I'm drinking liquid IV every single morning. But how fast did you guys scale? And like, when did you start? I feel like I heard about you guys. The first time I had a pack of liquid IV was 2.5 years ago. I was at a neighborhood party the night before with the kids. Kids are all out running around. Parents are all getting drunk. And then my buddy in the morning was just like, hey, dude, he brought over liquid IVs for all of us. And he was like, this will get rid of the hangover. And I was like, come on, man.
I've heard that before.
I know. I popped it in my drink and I felt great like an hour later, 30 minutes later. And I was like, oh, shit. But I didn't feel like I had heard about you until then. What year did you guys get started?
Yeah, it's crazy to hear that because most people, I hear the same thing around 2019 is right when the business started to really, you know, take off, and it was starting to spread by word of mouth, like the same exact way you heard about it. But the craziest part, which should give a lot of entrepreneurs hope and you guys hope as well as you're getting going, is like I started in 2012. I was 24, and basically from 2012 to 2017, we barely made any money. Like we did in total in all, you know, six of those years, we did like under $1 million in sales. And then once we hit 2018, things started to percolate. We got some retailers to buy in. You know, sampling was a huge thing. People are trying the product, and we always knew that when people tried it, they would love it. You know, they would fall in love with the product. Just like, you know, similar to how it happened to you. And we got into retail, and then we did this like celebrity investor round, which ended up being like, kind of like, gave a lot of brand awareness to the business. And so we went from under $1 million in sales, you know, in the first 6 years to then, you know, hundreds of millions 2.5 years later. So it was just a wild hockey stick. And I think, you know, building a foundational solid business, you know, where it's really solid and sturdy, and then it can actually withstand that scale was a big part of how we won. And I mean, you got to have a great product. You got to have a great team. There's all of those things. But I think the fact that we did grow it so grassroots and organically for 6 years with like, you know, just like really solidifying everything, when we finally did hit that scale, it was pretty insane.
Yeah, I bet. It's funny. That's what Dan and I have been doing for the last week, is meeting with celebrity investors and things like that to get brand awareness out there. Very similar story in all of this. I love when entrepreneurs come on this program in particular, because it's one of those things where I feel like everybody out there thinks they have a great idea, but they never think it is possible. When did the lightning strike for you and you were like, man, I think I can do this, and I think I can get this out around the world and people will love it as much as I do?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many entrepreneurs reach out and they're like, you know, they have an idea, but there's all these reasons not to start, whether it's like, you know, financially or family things or their other job or whatever. And I always say, like, like the key to growing something incredible is like, you just got to start, like you got to start going. And I think deep down, like I'm like obsessive and relentless and super competitive. And like, I always like thought, like, I really believed that somehow I was going to make it win. But I mean, those first 3 or 4 years when like I'm in my mid 20s and all my friends are out partying and traveling and they're all making six figures at some, you know, BS job and settling down and, you know, with family and stuff. And I was just like grinding. I was walking into liquor stores, handing them a box of products, saying, put it on the shelf for free. If it sells, I'll, you know, you can buy the next round. I'd send my friends in to go buy it. I would then Venmo charge them. And like, I was grinding for 4 or 5 years while everyone else was living this, you know, this awesome 20s life. And so, yeah, man, it's just, I think getting started is key. And then, I mean, just truly, like, you got to believe in yourself, because you're going to hear so many no's and people are going to laugh at you. And, you know, even people that you love and that trust you, you know, it's hard for them to see a vision. And so you just got to really believe in yourself and just keep one foot in front of the other. And the longer you stay afloat, the longer you have a chance to blow up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I've seen it with a bunch of my friends, and then you even see it in podcasts. Like, you know, even when we pivoted and we were like, hey, we're going to start a media and get in a podcast. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, why would you stop doing movies to do that? And I was like, well, movies feel like they're kind of dying. Like comedy, you know, as a comedian, comedy feels like it's kind of dying and everything's being looked over or, you know, there's too many hands in the, mm-hmm. in the fruit punch. Not enough alcohol in there, and things were, you know, just kind of boring and the same. And I was like, here, at least in this space, I can say whatever the fuck I want all day long. That's the same with Dan. And, yeah. And then we changed, and then, you know, now everybody's come around of like, this podcast thing you're doing, wow, that's like a real thing. And yeah, it's a similar thing where people do laugh at you and they tell you you're going to be a fucking failure and what is this and why and everything else. For you, how many employees do you have right now?
We're over 50 now. Yeah, over 50.
Shit.
And just back on your last point, like the way I think about it now that I've sort of got to the other side is like, if people aren't laughing and talking behind your back about it and saying it's not going to work, then it's probably not that cool or that big of an idea. Because like, you kind of like, that means it's probably something that's pretty cool and pretty good. Like people talking trash, you know?
Yeah. 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 Did you ever go to somebody and say, hey, would you like to invest in this? And they were like, no, dude, I think this is going to be a bullshit idea. Like a friend of yours.
Like hundreds.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who did, you know, I had friends and family in my first round in like 2013 who put in like whatever money they had to their name, like $2,500, $5,000. Like we weren't like some established big company where we said, you know, minimum of 25K investment. And like those people like made a 7-figure check when we got acquired.
Really? That had to have been an unbelievable feeling.
Yeah.
It took me about 6 months to like totally comprehend, but like 80 of my closest friends, family, employees who all had equity in the company, like, you know, all had this incredible win. And so I was going through my own massive transition. You know, when you live in a 800 square foot apartment for 7 years running your business out of there, then you get this acquisition. So I was going through my own big transition. But when I finally had a chance to like comprehend what it meant to my mom, my sister, you know, my dad, like my closest friends who got involved, like, it's pretty wild, like a pretty life-changing event. You know, like everyone I know in my circle right now is, even though this isn't the only thing, but it's very tangible, they're all buying a house. It's like so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And it's because of this product that you came up with.
Crazy idea that everyone laughed at, but they believed. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's wild. You ever have athletes hit you up or celebrities saying, hey man, can you send me some product for free? And you're like, dude, just buy it.
I mean, they hit me up all the time. I just say yes. And then I send it.
It's smart.
I figure it's more sampling.
And the reason I ask is you never know what to do in that situation. We had a buddy with a buddy of ours with a water company.
Yeah.
And I felt like we were always driving him to the store to ship out like all this water for celebrities and things like that. And I'm like, dude, are you going to make any money? You're going to go bankrupt just sending out free samples all over the place. One would have to imagine that's how you kind of started, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's even harder than that? Because at least you can justify it to yourself that like they have a following. If they share it or tell somebody, like it might help the business. When you just have like friends, like reach out and they want to buy it for free. I'm like, yo, can you guys just support us, please? Like, we're trying to get the business off the ground.
Yeah, yeah, we get that as well over here.
Hey, I'm sure.
Yeah, or with even with friends of ours, well, they'll go through us. We'll be like, hey, man, can you give me any Black Raffle T-shirts or anything? And I'm like,
yeah, I don't work for them.
Yeah, no, I don't. Just go to their website. It's like $25.
Yeah,
get a T-shirt if you want a T-shirt. I don't understand it. So where you're at now with the company? Are you guys looking to acquire other companies, or what are you doing now?
Yeah, so once we got acquired by Unilever, the goal with Liquid IV is just to keep growing it. Like, you know, be a multi-billion-dollar global brand would be the goal. Like, hydrate people, help them live better lives around the world. You know, we have this give back mission where with each purchase, we donate a serving to someone in need, which has been so cool. Like, we've got to travel to places like Uganda and Haiti and Nepal and help these people where truly hydration is like, you know, life or death, really, which has been really cool. Yeah, so Liquid IV is probably not looking to acquire companies right now. About a month ago, I stepped down as CEO just to focus on some other things. So, you know, always will be founder and involved with the business. But like in terms of operating it day to day, you know, it was a 9-year thing. And I was like, I just was, you know, I had some other exciting things going and I was just sort of ready to live my life a little because I sort of sacrificed so much of the last 10 years. So, you know, it's still my baby and I love it, but, you know, no longer running it day to day.
Yeah. And that's got to be a good feeling. I mean, you know, I've owned a couple companies now on my own. It's just, dude, it's your 14-hour days, nonstop. Yeah, you want to enjoy yourself and relax a little bit. And like you were saying earlier, you miss your 20s, kind of. Now, look, still good-looking, dude. sharp as shit. Like, you're still good to go, right? It's not like you're a 300-pound man who is... You're not Steve Bannon, and you're out of gas towards the end, and you're just like, I don't know if I'm going to live anymore. But I made a shit ton of money. Are you doing anything fun coming up? We're going to the Kentucky Derby. You going to the Kentucky Derby?
Nice, man. Yeah, let me know. I'll hitch a ride with you guys. That sounds epic.
We're going.
Yeah, you know. All right. Well, I'll talk to you offline a little bit here. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, now that everything's opening up a little bit, you know, I'm excited to travel and just do some social stuff that I've sort of haven't been. You know, I didn't do for 9 years, and because of COVID, it's been, you know, pretty few and far between. So I'm excited to travel. You know, I played golf in college, so I'm excited to play some golf and just enjoy that a little bit. And then I got my hands in a couple other business things that I can't really talk about yet, but I'm super excited for like the next phase of creating products and services that'll help people. So
that's awesome. Where did you go to college?
Loyola Marymount here in LA.
Oh shit. LMU. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you guys based?
We're based in Austin, Texas right now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, but I lived in LA for 18 years. Dan lived in Oakland for a while. So
yeah.
We're always out in LA shooting all the time.
I like, speaking of shooting, I like how when you said the word Oakland, I instinctively reached over and touched my firearm that's on the table. Just in case.
Because you never know in Oakland. Now the 800 square foot apartment makes total sense where, yeah.
They're just getting people ready to go to prison later.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Shit. You're lucky to get that in LA.
Yeah.
So you were doing the whole thing out of LA?
Whole thing out of LA, yeah. Yep.
Eesh. Those taxes hit you. Did you move the LLC before you got acquired at least?
No, I thought about it. It was one of these things where, like, you know, you could save some money short term, but it would be such a stress on the business that it would probably hurt the top line growth. So it probably would end up balancing out. So I would stay here. My family's here and stuff. My parents, my sister and stuff. So I ended up just staying here, but you know, about to pay taxes and I'm like, ouch.
Yeah.
This hurts.
It's insane, isn't it? Cause just the state tax alone in California is 14.5. I think it's going to 16.5, maybe at the end of the year. We'll see how this tax season goes, but yeah, I was more than happy to hop on down the road and get out of that mess.
Yeah, even as a business owner, I mean, capital gains are less than income tax typically, but that's still a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The capital gains are brutal. I mean, I have so many entrepreneur friends who are, I mean, Austin must just be popping right now. Everyone I know is moving there.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And, you know, for good and bad, I've had this conversation numerous times over the last few days. Great for us because of what we do and, you know, all of the biggest podcasts have now moved here, so we're able to share guests and advertisers and all that other stuff. Bad for the residents of Texas.
Well, it's bad for people that are trying to buy and build houses right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Because the market, yeah. I mean, not, look, it's great for builders and sellers.
Yes.
But that's how it is. Right. There's ebbs and flows in the real estate market. You just got to fucking be patient and make good decisions.
Yeah. You know yeah. The housing market is through the roof here, but it's a beautiful city and it's fun. And I understand why everybody's moving here just out of, you know, the simple beauty of it and all the things you're able to do. You know, for me and Dan, we were just in LA shooting with Chuck Liddell for his new show, which is out now. And we spent, you know, a week there. And it seems like every time we go back to shoot, the homelessness and the businesses are just gone, like just shutting down. Some of my favorites closed last week. Arclight. We lost Arclight. The Cinerama Dome was my favorite.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was just in Santa Monica yesterday. I haven't been out there a lot, but it's like, it kind of feels like it's like the Walking Dead out there. Like all the businesses are shut. Like the homelessness is way up. It's really sad. I mean, and then I've gone on a few trips to places like Scottsdale or Austin or Miami. And it's just like the night and day. It used to be like everyone came to LA,
yeah,
you know, and like everyone to be in LA. And now it's like, it's just, it's really weird. I think, you know, give it 12 to 24 months. I think things will start to become more normal, but there's a lot of reasons to live in a place like Austin. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, 360, it's pretty cool. It's
yeah.
Pretty
damn cool. No state tax. Down yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I think you might be a little overly optimistic about that 12 to 24 month thing, to be honest.
All right. I tend to be overly optimistic. So,
well, I got you this far. Sounds right. So stay with it, I guess.
Yeah. Who are we to tell you otherwise? Yeah. Jesus Christ. You're richer than us. So we're going to believe you on that one. But the Scottsdale thing is interesting because I've had a couple friends who've moved to Scottsdale, Arizona. And I was like, Arizona is real goddamn hot. But the nightlife there pops off and there's a lot of fun, cool shit to do there. In Scottsdale, who was on the program who's talking about hunting down cougars? And,
Archie Bradley.
Yeah.
Archie Bradley, the current closer for the Phillies, although Archie. He's hurt, right? He's got an oblique injury right now.
Yeah. A lot of women.
When I first graduated from school before I started Liquid IV, I worked for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I lived in Scottsdale for a couple of years. Mm. And it gets hot for sure in the summer, but it's such a fun place. I mean, the nightlife, restaurants, and then like for me, golf, like there's just tons of golf courses and it's a pretty damn cool place to live.
It is. I've gone there a few times and I've enjoyed it. The summers though, like whenever somebody says it's dry heat, oh, don't worry. It's dry heat. It's not humid. It's dry heat. They're a fucking liar.
No, like, it's yes. not. Come on, man. Here in Austin, the first few months where it starts to warm up, it's still like coming out of hurricane seasons. There's still a lot of humidity in the air.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
later, like in a month or two, it's going to be 100 degrees every single day, but it is different. It's not the same as being, I grew up in South Carolina. You grew up in Georgia. The difference between fucking humid heat and dry. Dry heat's a real thing.
Yeah.
When the dry heat is 120 goddamn degrees, that's where the problem gets into focus, right?
It feels like somebody's following around with a blow dryer right behind you, just on full blast.
Yeah, but I don't mind it. I don't mind. As long as everybody else is sweaty, I'm fine being sweaty. But I'm not doing it I'm not going to work out or run or any of that stupid shit.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, you're not leaving
If I'm
house.
Sweating for some reason other than it just being warm outside, I'm not happy about that.
Sure. You married?
Single. Dude. No kids. Yeah.
You were on Drinking Bro Ads, and they were like, man, that dude. After the show ends, they were like, that dude, I bet, just crushes it in real life, like outside of it. My wife is on that show. She was like, hey, you guys got to have him on. He's fucking hilarious and he's cool. And I was like, all right, rad, we'll have him on. But they were like, dude, I bet he just crushes. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I had a fun show with them. And it's funny, like, I mean, truly, it sounds kind of corny, I guess, but I was so, like, laser focused for the last, like, I was just head down. I think that's why I'm excited now, you know, we got acquired, and now I have some time to, like, you know, date a little bit and just explore that side of things. So different than when I was on with them, I was still sort of head down. Now I'm more head up, let's put it that way.
The only wild thing, though, is, you know, you sit down at Carrabba's or wherever you're taking your young lady.
It's definitely not Carrabba's.
You never know.
No, I know for sure. I don't think there is a Carrabba's in L.A.
I don't want to throw a fine chain restaurant under the bus stand, but let's say you go to that Olive Garden in Westwood. You know, the one I'm talking about, that Olive Garden.
I do.
Yeah, you do. That Olive Garden in Westwood, right by the UCLA campus. Let's say you're taking a lady out, and you sit down, and she says, "Oh, you know, I mentioned to a friend of a friend. We thought we might like each other. Blah 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 blah." What do? And you drop, "I own Liquid IV." It's pretty much game over. Like, you're on another level now. Where before, if you said, "Oh, I got this product, it's going to be awesome," or whatever. How much money do you have? None. And I live in an 800 square foot apartment. Cool, fuck off. That was the LA way. Now you're going to be able to drop this hammer, and then it's game on.
It's funny how quickly that changes. There's so many times where I would try and explain what I did. Like, wait, so you sell the powder in the stick? And like, what? Like, in the beginning, there were never products where you poured the stick into water. Like, we were one of the first to do that, right?
Yeah.
So I would try and explain, and they're like, "All right, yeah, whatever." And then, you know, fast forward 8 years, where it's a little different story for sure.
Oh, yeah, fuck. And then there's nothing worse too. And then you'll get, if they don't know the product, you'll be like, "I don't understand how you don't know what that is." And it's just, "Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds like a fun thing." Because mine was like, with the movies, it was like, what movies have you been in? I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that one. I don't know that one. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm a fucking loser.
I still haven't figured out how to tell anybody what I do now.
No.
Like,
no.
What do you do? I'm like, I talk for a living. Oh, yeah?
It's one of those things where you're like,
are you on the radio? I'm like, no. No one is on the fucking radio anymore.
No one's on the radio anymore.
Jesus Christ.
And they're like, "Oh, you have a podcast." And I'm like, "Oh, that's fun and flirty. How many listeners?" "That's, Drinking Bros is like 10.3 million. What? What? Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Yeah. And you're like, man. But then you have to keep telling people who you are and all that other shit, and that sucks. Like,
you don't have to.
You do.
If somebody asks me who I am, I say the same thing I say on my Instagram bio. I'm the biggest piece of shit you've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah. Right? For instance, what I'm saying, simple. When you have to tell people what you do, I meant for like, I'm helping my father get a car for his birthday. And, you have to fill out the application of what you do for a living.
Oh, yeah. Just skip that and give them the bank statement. That's what I do. I turn it on all at once. So they're like, oh. And they're like, oh. I'm like, all right, cool. Can we end this right now? Yeah, it doesn't matter what I do.
This conversation.
I sell oranges on the side of the road, and I make money doing it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but that'll be your new world, my man. And God damn it, if I'm not excited for you, for real. It's going to be a blast. How old are you right now?
I'm 33.
Okay, we're the same age. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
You look great.
That's the problem. Once you get to a certain age, you have to start saying you're older, right? Because you want to look good for, because you want to look good for a while. Then you want to look good for a certain age. Start telling people you're 60 and they go, "Oh, you look great for 60. Like, yeah, I know. Just, clean living.
Right? Yeah. The other thing about it is, all right, shit, thinking about this out loud right now, you're 33 and you just sold the company and all that other shit. Like, man, that's awesome. You're going to have a rad life. I mean, most people, "Hey, I'm 70. They've got a dead parrot clung to their thing and they just got out of the coal mine. And, that's life, kid. And I pack a Pall Mall filterless. For you, you're 33.
Yeah, for him, he's going to be
whatever you want.
For him, he's going to be packing cocaine into the end of a parliament instead.
Yes.
We don't get sponsored by cocaine or parliament.
Or parliaments. We can say that. That's called a cocoa puff in the biz, by the way. Cocoa puff in the biz.
I think we could probably get sponsored by cocaine.
Maybe. Well,
if milk can do commercials on television, milk is not a goddamn business. It's a product, goddamn.
I will say this. We did just get sponsored for a show entirely about cocaine yesterday.
That's true, yeah, but that's different.
Wow.
It was on the enforcement side of cocaine, not on the usury side.
Yeah. RSL, it might have hit you up about it. It's It's awesome. It starts in June, but it is the top of the top. When we head offline, we'll chat about it, but that's the top of the top. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was going to be a big one.
What can we be looking forward to from you guys coming out over the next year?
Yeah, Liquid IV. We got some really cool, we do these limited edition launches just on our website only. So, we're sold in, 35,000 stores. So Costco and Walmart and Kroger and all that. But we do these really cool limited edition launches on our website where it's like a flavor that you can't get anywhere else or a celebrity collab. We have a really cool one coming up for Earth Day, which I don't think I'm really allowed to talk about yet, but it's going to be this really, really unique packaging.
Is it going to be John Denver?
Is it John Denver?
Say it again.
Is it going to be John Denver flying in a helicopter?
No.
I think it was a Cessna.
Oh, was it a Cessna?
Yeah, just went right
I mean,
down.
He's the one that wrote that Plant a Tree song, right?
Yeah.
For Arbor Day or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he did that.
Yeah.
He did that. And then RIP.
Wait, isn't, what day is, Earth Day is April the 21st or some shit? Is that right?
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming up in like a week or something like that. Yeah.
Hot Bob.
22nd. Sorry.
Okay.
Because the April the 23rd is Fuck the Earth Day.
Right. And then April 20th is Smoke the Earth Day.
Well, that's also Hitler's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. How did 420 end up? I know I've read some stuff about that. I think it was some surfer dude that made it up originally back in the day, and probably in fucking on mid coast in California. Let's be real, right?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it a shame that it fell on one of the worst human beings' birthday of all time?
Nothing you can do about it. My kid was born on the day that Martin Luther King died.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, it's weird. So we were in the car 2 days ago. This is a true story. Super weird, but that's what the show is, so fuck it. We're in the car, and we're listening to U2. It was just on the radio. I was in my mom's car back in North Carolina. I was there for the weekend. I don't listen to the radio that much. And that U2, that old U2 song came on. Early morning, April 4th, shots rang out in the Memphis sky. And my kid's in the back seat. He goes, Dad, that's my birthday. What are they talking about? And I was like, that's when one of our nation's greatest leaders got assassinated. You want some tendies? Wow. You want some chicken tendies now? Or, you know, I had nowhere to go with that. Are you allowed to chat about the celebrities that you're working with, that you're collabing with?
Well, you did one with Justin Bieber not too long ago, right?
Yeah, in 2019, we kind of kicked off. We were testing it out. We had some of these guys who wanted to be investors in the business. And so we thought, how can we like leverage it more than just like, you know, them putting money in and not being able to work together on anything? So, we did one with Steve Aoki, who's like a big international DJ, which was epic. The strawberry cake flavor is still our number one flavor by far. People are obsessed with it. And it was random. I was with him. I was with him at his house, actually. He was having his birthday party. And he goes, we should do what? Like, he throws a cake out at people's face at the end of his shows. Like,
yeah, that's yeah. Like every single show. Did he throw one at you at the end of that night?
No, thank God. Thank God he didn't throw one at me. Yeah. So he's like, yo, what if we make a strawberry cake flavor? And, you know, we're super healthy and, you know, we go towards the organic healthy route. And it's like, I don't know if that would work, but let me see what we can do. So we made a sample and I tried the first sample. Normally it takes like rounds and rounds of sampling to figure out the right flavor. And I was like, oh my God, this is so, it literally tastes like a strawberry cake. And I sent it to him and he was like, dude, let's do it. So that was the first one we ever did. And that one blew up, which was epic. What's so cool about it is since we launched it only on our website, all of the other people who buy in Costco or Walmart or Amazon all come to our website to buy when we do these limited edition launches. So that was cool. We did a Justin Bieber flavor. He had a song called Yummy. And so we did a yummy flavor, which was like this guava flavor, which was good. We did one with Kygo, who's another DJ, which was really cool. Like this pina colada. He has like very tropical music. So we made a pina colada flavor, which was good. So those are all ones we've done. I can't share what's coming up. We have some cool ones coming up. I'm signed my life away not to talk about that, but some really cool ones coming up.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this. How's Biebs in real life? I've never met him. Is he cool?
I didn't actually meet him in real life. I worked a lot with his team.
Scooter Braun?
But overall, he was in. Yeah, Scooter. Yeah. So Scooter's an investor and a good friend. And so
he's an investor in Liquid IV?
Yeah, big investor.
Dude, that guy's rad, man. Awesome. I worked with him years ago on a movie. And dude, takes all of his own phone calls, does all of his own shit. The Taylor Swift thing pissed me off, man, because he's a great dude. I love Scooter. I think Scooter Braun's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, we he's been a great partner. You know, we sort of have this vision of, you know, doing this investor round with celebrities, which in the past, like, people had done it, but not the way we did it, where they all were going to do something in the business. And so now it's funny, we did that. And now like all of these brands are like, oh, we want to do that celebrity type around that Liquid IV did it, you know, cause it was much more than just capital. It was very strategic and it really helped amplify the brand. So yeah, it's been awesome, you know, working together with him over the last 3 or 4 years and So I did most of the Bieber stuff with him, but Justin was awesome. You know, he shared everything he was supposed to. You know, the yummy flavor was sweet, and yeah, it was a really fun campaign. It was really fun.
Man, that's awesome. I'd love to hear that. He seems like a good dude. That's why I've never ripped on that dude on the show. And Scooter's amazing. He's one of those guys who's got his hands in everything. You know, speaking of which, that's Coinbase IPO just dropped a couple days ago. I was surprised to see how many celebrities were invested in that behind the scenes. Nas was one of them who got rich off
of
that.
Well, he's in a lot of stuff. Nas is in a lot of stuff.
That's crazy. Yeah, Kevin Durant Nas is one of the original investors.
Even Kevin Durant is one of the highest paid players in the NBA. He's making way more money in Silicon Valley, frankly, than he's making playing.
Yep.
Not endorsements, not salary. He's making more money in investments now.
And obviously, here's where I'm going with this. Did you invest in some other cool shit out there, like after everything hit for you, where you were like, all right, I'm going to take this money because I believe in this and this and this, the same way that other people believed in you?
Totally. Yeah, it's been one of the more fun things is like, basically, ever since like the public announcement happened with the acquisition, like so many different founders and companies reached out, which is really cool. I think less so for the capital, more so just the strategic piece. Like there's things we've done that have been really unique and they want me involved, which is, you know, it's sort of very humbling and really cool because I was on the other side of that a while ago. I think when you get the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden I was like, oh, that looks good. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Do that. I had to like take a deep breath and be like, all right, these deals, like they're not running out anytime soon. People are going to keep coming to me and like, I need to take a deep breath. Like before I knew it, I had already invested in like 12 different brands, like within like 3 or 4 months. So, but it's really fun. I mean, honestly, for me, there were so many people who believed in me who probably shouldn't have. And because of that, I got my shot and I was able to go win. And in turn, you know, I made them a lot of money. And so it's really cool to be able to be in that position for sure.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, dude, you're a hell of a guy. Your story is incredible. We appreciate you being on today. Obviously, liquidiv.com, promo code Drinking Bros will get you 25% off. What I tell the audience is this. Do not go to Costco and buy it and scream it in the cash registers, you know, their face, the, you know, the woman behind the cash register. Don't scream in her face, Drinking Bros, 25% off. Go to the website, just have it shipped to your house, Liquid IV. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 25% off everything in the entire store.
But if you're gonna do that, record it.
Right, and then
send it to us because that'd be funny. Just don't get banned from Costco for life. You don't want to have to deal with that shit.
No, you don't.
You don't want to be a face on the fucking wall in Costco. Like, do not accept checks from this person.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah,
yeah. You don't want. Costco's a big company.
They're okay. We do this thing called Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helps you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, man. Probably my dad, man. My dad's awesome. He's like best friend and also an incredible mentor. Like quick note on him. Like he worked in a dairy shop on the Lower East Side of Manhattan for like his whole upbringing. His dad owned it. Moved to LA with like no money when he was 20. He started at an architecture firm when he was 21 years old and at a 200 person firm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 40 years later, he's now the CEO of a 6,000 person company.
Holy shit. He
gives me so much advice and he's an incredible mentor and leader. And, you know, when I was growing up, he was working his way through it. So he wasn't there yet, you know, when I was in high school and college. But it's pretty incredible to have that relationship with him and for him to have followed his dream. And it then gave me the opportunity to follow my dreams. And so definitely, the Drinking Bro of the Week goes to Papa Cohen.
That's awesome. Are we allowed to say what company it is? I mean, shit, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Gensler. It's an worldwide architecture firm, the largest in the world now.
Wow. My God, man. You got any siblings? Like, you're just pouring out talent out of that family.
I got a younger sister. She's a chef. She has her own, like home meal delivery and personal chef thing. So, little entrepreneurial family for sure.
Man, that is incredible.
Wow, Gensler has an office, actually, here right next to my apartment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, maybe you should
right
hop
in Austin. Yeah,
hop on down to there. Austin, man, and join us. Anytime you're in town, I'm planning a trip. Yeah, when are you coming out here?
I'm planning it June. I'll hit you guys up. Let's grab a drink.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. Yes, we'll when you come in, and then we'll hang out in studio as well, and we'll do this again. You're an awesome guy, and we appreciate your time today. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Yeah, I love it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love what you do. I'm so glad we're able to work together and absolutely stuff. Keep doing your thing, and I'll hit you up when I come to Austin.
Awesome. Cool, awesome. Thank you, buddy. Right. Good to see you.
You guys.
Ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store. Mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, you name it. Ghostbed has it. Also, they get that 40% off on the adjustable base. That's the best thing you'll ever have in your entire life. Once you have it, you can't not go back to having it again, even though I lost mine in the great flood and storm of Texas 2021. I'm going to fucking buy another one. And you're goddamn right. I'm using my own promo code. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And you can couple those deals together with that deal, kids. And it's a big one. Again, best deal you could possibly get is at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. New one on the show. We called them for this. We personally called them for this. Everybody tagged us in these Dr. Squatch ads on Facebook. It's the soap company. I love the ad so much, I ended up buying the soap, and they keep making new ones that are just absolutely fucking hilarious. They swear in them. They even swear in the copy, which is awesome. DrSquatch.com, you can enter the code DSC, Drinking Bros, for 20% off orders or $20. You got to order over $20 there to get that 20% off, which is easy. They got a bunch of awesome products here, but this is the real copy here, and this is fucking amazing. It says real talk here. That soap or body wash you're using, it's shit. That's the actual copy at the top of this. These guys are awesome, dude. It's backed with harsh chemicals and all this other stuff, and it's true, man. This stuff is brutal on your skin. I've been using this crappy, you know, those little white square bars that you get at the hotels. Am I staying in a great hotel? No, I'm not. During all of this, there's a couple out in the country where I live, so it's not the best. My skin's not feeling that great. A little dry, a little botchy, like Steve Bannon here. But yeah, man, Dr. Squatch is where it's at, and I had mine sent to the office so I could physically take it to the fucking hotel. I'm gonna be here like another 2 weeks, I think. All of Dr. Squatch's soaps are made in the USA using the finest ingredients nature has to offer. Natural cleansers and the nourishing ingredients, they're all great for your skin. So the things that I'm using are fucking terrible from your skin. Love Dr. Squatch. Huge fan of these guys. And amped that they are a sponsor on the show. Right now, new customers can get 20% off on orders of $20 or more when they go to DrSquatch.com and enter the code DSC Drinking Bros. That's DrSquatch.com, code DSC Drinking Bros for 20% off on orders of $20 or more. And on DrSquatch.com, by the way, it's DrSquatch.com, code DSC Drinking Bros for 20% off of orders of $20 or more. Big, big fans of these guys. It kind of reminds me of like the Black Rifle Coffee ads that were crazy as shit. Love them. Last but not least, we got feels.com/drinkingbros. When I say that, it's feals.com/drinkingbros. You're going to get 50% off your first order of free shipping. This is CBD. My wife actually uses it every single night, so this is an easy one to discuss. We are on a subscription for this, and she uses the droplets. That's her thing to go to sleep. Doesn't want to get hooked on Xanax or anything else, so she uses this to go to sleep every single night. I know a ton about this product. It comes in amazing packaging and all that other stuff, and it literally just gets shipped to your house once a month. Because look, CBD, it's not about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel. Stress, anxiety, pain, the inability to sleep and things like that. So feels is great. It's a premium CBD that'll help keep your head clear and feel your best, so you're not walking around groggy throughout the day or anything else like that. There's no hangover or addiction. And again, I know this firsthand because my wife literally uses this product every single night before bed. They also offer a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so you can find that perfect dose. Join the Feels monthly membership and it makes your self-care easy. You'll save money on every order and you can pause or cancel at any time. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/drinkingbros and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/drinkingbros to become a member and get 50% off automatically. Big fan of that. D'Anthony, we got a little bit of breaking news here. DMX, who I love, public memorial in Brooklyn at Barclays Center. When your funeral is inside a sports arena, you made it in this life, I feel like. I feel like you made it in this life.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tragic tale.
It is, but I mean, shit, you have that many hits, and then Kobe was tragic as well. His was a Staples Center.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how many people have actually had their funerals there. Because living in LA all those years.
At Staples Center?
I want to say, I remember Michael Jackson's was.
Ugh.
Yeah. By the way, they still play his bullshit and nobody says anything.
Yeah, he's the one piece of shit that just hasn't been canceled. Nipsey Hussle had his funeral at Staples.
Yeah,
as well.
That's right. Shit.
It's only happened three times apparently. Hold on,
there's Kobe.
Kobe.
Nipsey,
and who's the other one?
Michael Jackson.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Michael Jackson. Yeah. Whitney Houston's they did in like New Jersey.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I'm saying Whitney Houston, but no, they did that in Jersey, and I remember that was televised. I remember KCOS, dude. Kevin Costner spoke at that bitch
at Whitney Houston's memorial. That's
yeah, he
sad.
Brought down the house, dude.
That's sad.
He was awesome. But yeah, that's a crazy one. When you get that big, there's actually a line in the new Drake song where he's just like, dude, we're going to do this at wherever the Toronto Raptors play. Where do the Raptors play at, Hot Bob? He was like, dude, we're going to shut this bitch down, and that's where I'm going to be. Big boy move, a lot of hits. Did that catalog last week.
This is some Canadian shit here.
Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah, Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah. Conair or something like that. They used to call it something else. I forget what it was, but whatever, man. That's some big
Air Canada Center.
Air
before,
Canada,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah,
but
yeah.
The word center is spelled wrong.
Is it really?
It's not centre. It's center.
I know. I don't understand it.
Why would TRE be tur? That doesn't make any sense. Canada or England? Fuck you guys.
Wait, it's not the Tim Hortons Arena?
Shut up. No, it's no. Tim Hortons Arena is isn't that Vancouver's?
Dude, Tim Hortons, yeah, that's in Vancouver, man. I told that story on the show. The cab driver picked me up.
That's in Hamilton.
Hamilton. That's real. There was a cab driver. I did a gig in Vancouver. There was a cab driver who picked me up, and we drove by to Tim Hortons, like on the way to the hotel. And he was like, make sure to stop at Tim Hortons. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, you love Tim Hortons that much? He goes, well, I own two of them. I own those two. And I was like, what?
Yeah, they franchised early.
And I go, why are you driving a cab then? And he goes, you know, property values are here?
Mm.
His house was like $2 or $3 million. And he's like, man, I got two kids and all this other shit. And he goes, it's fucking brutal. And I was like, man, might want to think about popping on down the other side of the border, hombre.
Well, fun fact, my cab driver in L.A. had his doctorate.
Really?
In what country?
Yeah, what country?
What, U.S.? Really? Pepperdine.
Oh, wow.
And what was the...
Everything's still shut down out there.
What was the PhD in?
Education.
There it is.
Wow. Yeah.
No one cares.
You gotta shoot for the sky.
Like, why would you spend 8 years learning how to learn?
Yeah, wait. Was that Shaq?
It might have been.
Because Shaq has his PhD in education.
Yeah.
He's
a doctor.
Yeah, he's an honorary doctor.
Yeah. Pamela Anderson's selling her house, too, today. That's a sad
one for her. Speaking of Pacific Northwest, though, that weekend... they were going to the Canelo fight.
Yes, May 8th.
Yep. On May 9th, the Seattle Mariners are playing baseball in Texas against the Rangers, and Adam Ray is a huge Seattle Mariners fan. We should probably look at going to that.
Oh, so I hit up Benny. Yes, there's a...
It's at like 1:35.
It's a Friday night game, yeah. Then there's a Sunday game that's at 1:30.
The Sunday game is probably better, to be honest, because then we can go to the Sunday game. It'll be over by 5, and then we can cruise out of there back to here, drive back. We'll be here by 8.
We'd be rocked then.
No, not in the middle of the day on Sunday. We'll be recovering that day.
You go to a baseball game, you're going hard. Have you been to a Rangers game before?
Not the new stadium, no.
So I went to the old stadium, and they do shit different there. Like, that was one of the funnest stadiums I've ever been at.
I don't get drunk at baseball games.
Really?
No, I watch them.
But, I mean, so what, dude? I can drink watching, doing anything.
Not the way I watch. You haven't been to a baseball game with me before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's worse than football. Remember that Eagles game where I started calling every play after play and then just got hammered afterwards?
Yeah.
In baseball, I just keep calling the plays all game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he sticking around?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. He wants to get box tickets and whatever. Well,
we have seats right behind the dugout. So Benny hit us up for Friday night.
Behind the home or away dugout?
Third baseline.
That's home, typically. Well, no, that's the away dugout. Good, that'll work. Yeah. That'll work. Adam would love that, by the way. He's a huge Mariners fan.
We'll hit him up after the show. Four seats.
And the Mariners actually look really good this year, too.
Do they really?
Yeah, they're first in the division right now.
Yeah, they're going to fucking fall off.
We'll see. they are in the position that Houston was in before they really made their turn. They have a lot of young talent. But they need to reach into their farm system sometime this summer and start trading guys to get veterans on the team.
Right.
You know, that they're in that spot now. We'll see. General management has the opportunity to make them a good team. We'll see if they can do it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. I doubt it.
Like, they traded Cano and Homeboy for all of those picks back in the day. And look, a lot of them hit, man. Yep. A lot of these dudes are really fucking good. And we'll see how it goes. We will see.
It's the Mariners. They haven't won any championships ever. So let's face it.
Yeah, they won 114 games in a season. Remember and still year? Didn't get out of the first round. Yeah.
I want to say they've maybe have one playoff series win to their name ever, if that.
I don't.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty
they won that one against the Yankees where Griffey slid in to win the series, right?
I think that's it.
The one that Randy Johnson came in relief?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they lost to LCS, and I don't think they've done anything since
then. Not really, no. Nothing. I mean, after that season, that team started to kind of crumble a little bit and go their own separate ways.
Yeah. I want to chat about this Aaron Donald fight here.
Well, it wasn't really a fight from what I can see from that video.
This guy...
Did you watch the video?
It's gone viral, obviously. First, it was the punch itself and what this guy looked like after that. And then the video popped up. Are we allowed to show it from TMZ? Do you think we're allowed to show that, Hot Bob, or what's the...
Let me see if I can find something else.
Okay. Because it would be cool to show. If you don't know who Aaron Donald is... He is an absolute animal, one of the very best NFL players there is.
Yeah, he's also a fucking mountain of a man.
He's shorter than you think, right?
Well, he's like 6 foot, 6'1".
Yeah, 6'1", I think he is. And shorter. You think he's shorter than the 6'1"? Yeah. Either way, how do you get brave enough out at a club to say, you know what, fuck you, dude. I think I can take on Aaron Donald. Yeah, dude, it's vicious. It's vicious. I want to put it up on screen, Bob. Hearing your gasp and audible gasp isn't enough for the audience. Yeah.
Put it back. Go back.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if that was the right one.
I don't
think I've heard a noise like that. It was almost like you punched, like a whale got punched in the...
You're talking about the noise
the
Bob
noise,
made?
Yeah, it was like a...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so Donald's agent has come out and said that he was actually trying to stop the fight. And from what I could tell, he definitely was trying to stop shit. So the accuser is the accuser the guy on the ground getting kicked, or is he one of the people kicking somebody on the ground? Fake Dan, do you know?
It's got to be the guy, like people kicking.
Yeah. So what had happened was, if you haven't seen the video yet, I'm sure by the time this airs, everybody will have seen it. But if you haven't seen the video yet, there's four dudes kicking some dude on the ground. And then Aaron Donald comes up and fucking puts hands on one of them. And then they kind of back up a little bit. And then some other guy comes in when they try to start reattacking the dude and start spraying people in the face with pepper spray, I would assume.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me.
Okay, you got it, Bob?
Yeah, it's TMZ.
TMZ, are we allowed to use that?
We'll see.
Yeah, this TV's off right here. Can you?
Are we allowed to use it, you think? Who knows?
I don't know why TMZ would care. I mean, it's just going to make people go fucking...
One would think,
check the
right?
video out.
One would think.
They're not going to check out some fucking replayed video on
there
our shit.
There you go.
The video's not that great.
So go all the way to the beginning.
All the way to the beginning. There you go.
And blow and make it full screen, please.
Shit, we'll promote them. Maybe they won't flag us for
we'll throw it.
TMZ
up.
Sports.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Look at that.
Oh, well, this is a different video, too.
Yeah, see...
There you go.
That's the dude get thrown on the ground.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But no, no, Donald, that's not Donald. Donald comes in later.
Yeah, Donald comes in
later and tries to wait.
Right here. That's Donald right there.
Okay.
He's trying to stop this dude from getting the shit kicked out of him. And look, if Aaron Donald had hit you, you would know. It doesn't look like he even took a swing at anybody. He was just pulling people off of this guy.
Yeah.
And then you see some people try to re-engage. The guy in the backwards hat right there has got pepper spray out, and he's going to spray him in the face if they don't go away. See, and this asshole is still trying to punch the guy on the ground. Whoever that is in that...
he got one last kick in there.
Yeah, whoever that is in that white hoodie right there is a fucking pussy. Hopefully that guy gets mouth cancer.
Yeah, Aaron Donald didn't have anything to do with this.
Okay. No, of course not.
How about the guy, though, that... Like Donald's buddy who actually just pulled him off.
Yeah, who is Aaron Donald's friend who pulled Aaron Donald off of somebody? Because people in the NFL can't do that.
No.
I mean he just got that guy. He moved Aaron around like he was a fucking child.
Yeah, put that guy on the Cowboys.
I'm going to adopt
him. Cowboys need some defensive help.
Yeah, well, they're going to draft some soon, but I don't know who.
Get that guy. The other wild one I saw today was the bobcat that jumped on that woman's back, Bob. Did you see that one? And homeboy came running out, grabbed the bobcat. It was like a baby bobcat.
No, I don't think it was. It looked like a fairly adult bobcat.
You play this video. It's on my Twitter. There you go. You can turn up the volume on it, too. There is volume in this video. I was surprised. I was like,
I need to wash my car.
I like that. Listen.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh my god, the bobcat! Oh my god! Watch out! Oh, shoot that fucker! Watch out!
Relax, dude. It's a fucking bobcat.
A bobcat!
Relax. Yeah,
no, he did exactly what he should do.
No, for sure, but just after
exactly
that.
Exactly what he should do. Who did that? I forget who it was on Twitter. I reposted it, Bob, but she said something like...
Sometimes you gotta yeet a bobcat.
Who's Jessica O'Donnell? Because that's a pretty funny stage. Is she a comedian or something?
She's from The Blaze.
Oh,
wow. Really? That's funny.
Jesus is King, social media editor at The Blaze.
I don't even check it.
Texas Aggie.
Texas Aggie, all right.
Dude, I mean...
Bobcats attack 7,000 people per year. Men between the ages of 17 and 27 are the primary victims. I don't know why they would have that data.
Dude, my mom was out running one time, and there was a bobcat that crossed the trail. And there is signs, to be fair, that are posted in like neighborhoods and shit like that, of like if bobcats live in your area. Because they are dangerous creatures, but...
They're not going to, like, they're not going to kill you.
No, bobcats don't seem to kill anybody.
Would you risk it?
It's not a mountain lion. It's not, like, a panther.
But with what that guy did...
He picked it up and
everything I can find
through it. I love that.
Somebody actually wrote an article about this in December, and they said, everything I could find says there are no documented fatal attacks against humans.
Don't believe it.
I do. It's a fucking tiny-ass house cat.
There's... The attack rate, I don't care about that. Yeah, it doesn't seem like, they lump bobcats and coyotes together.
Yeah, but
some of that data.
The thing with, I don't think a bobcat would kill you, but like, if anyone's ever been scratched up by someone's asshole house cat,
yeah.
Like imagine that, but now a little bit bigger and the claws are worse and it knows how to use them.
It's not about rabies. That's another thing.
Are you saying a bobcat can't kill you? Bobcats are extremely dangerous.
No, they're not.
You punt the shit out of a bobcat.
Let me stop you right there. When something is extremely dangerous, or at least somebody's saying that, and there are no fatalities recorded, I'm going to challenge that.
Yes. Exactly. They're too small.
Like this last year or so, people have been telling me certain things are dangerous, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Man, I wouldn't want to risk it.
Like a mountain lion's
going to... The problem is infection.
I like what that guy did a lot.
I've been scratched by a cat before, like just on the top of my hand. I don't care about that. But it gets, like, there's a minor infection and it hurts for like a week, which is a minor inconvenience and not at all extremely dangerous, as Giorgio just said.
If you die, it's probably because you don't go to the doctor. You get infected.
Yeah, you get like staph infection in your hand or some shit like that.
It's like, you know... No 7-year-old with a knife is going to kill you, but it can still stab you.
No, yeah, a 7-year old is not getting me with a knife.
I'm with you.
Not unless I'm sleeping at the time.
This lady didn't even see it coming. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got your back turned. You're carrying a little suitcase or whatever. Some 7-year old comes up, stabs you in the calf.
Yeah, a 7-year old can't move quickly or quietly enough to sneak up on me. No. There's no way.
Check it out. What if it did?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I will defend Dan on this one, having a 6-year or a 7-year old now, because he's turned.
Nah, they're loud as
weekend.
Shit.
Yes, dude. He wouldn't be able to sneak up on you.
No way.
And he's trained in the art of jiu-jitsu.
Yes. Yes, he is. And
young
he
warrior.
Be able to sneak up on you at all. Since 4. He's been in jiu-jitsu since he was 4 years old. He wouldn't be able to sneak up on you. Only because he laughs. Like, he giggles and gives it away.
That's what I do, too, when I'm attacking somebody. It did not come in handy in combat, by the way.
No.
I was just tittering the whole time. Like, are you guys excited? They're like, shut the fuck up, Dan. Jesus Christ. I did actually one time for long time fans of the show. If you remember my buddy Jeff Taylor coming on, two years ago?
That was a fun night.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. We used to be roommates too. One time we got in a gunfight, and he and I are one side of the room, my first sergeant and medic on the other side of a room, not on a room, road. And we're just bounding up and down, covering each other and shooting, and then letting the other guy move and just advancing on this dump truck. Every time I would squeeze the trigger, I would yell, pew, 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 pew. And Jeff finally just stopped shooting. There's still shit going on. He just stopped shooting.
Yeah.
And then fucking really deliberately turns around and looks at me, shut the fuck up. I'm like, all right, I guess I could do that. I had a lot of fun that day.
I bet you did, dude.
The guy whose truck got blown up, not so much, but.
No, I'm sure he had a rough time getting home.
Dan
not
Riffle.
A lot of Ubers out there.
No, he was fine. It just blew up the back of the fucking glass on the truck. It was fine.
All right.
He was fine. I'm sure he had TBI, though. I mean, that sucks, but you don't know at the time.
Obviously, yeah. Maybe reach out to him.
Put him on Facebook. Right
put
quick.
A message in a bottle, and see where it goes. We're gonna give out one more Drinking Bro of the Week here. Since we're at the end of the show, if we have a guest on, we typically give it to them. Sometimes people are busy and they got to bounce, but it's also nice to give out our own Drinking Bros of the Week, and you can submit yours at drinkingbros.com. Comes right to the old inbox live on air. If we've missed it by any chance, just resubmit it. It'll come back in, and then we'll do it. And then that's where you can get all that merch that Dan was talking about on drinkingbros.com. Now that we're stocked to the hilt. This one's new. Gay for straight, dude.
Yeah.
I finally got
it. If you're in Texas and you don't own one of these shirts yet, you're fucking out of... Come on, man.
Out of your mind,
give me
dude.
A break.
Out of your minds. This one was submitted by Sam Mizadra from Hawaii. Hawaii. A member of Drinking Bro for 2 years and is nominating... Brandon Merritt. Reason for the nomination. Today is my best friend Brandon's birthday. We've been best buds since elementary school, and he's always been such a great dude. Even when I'm 5,000 miles away or around the globe on deployments, he still shoots me emails or hits me up every day to play games and shoot shit. He fucking sucks at Warzone. He wants everybody to know that.
Yeah.
I like how he put that in there of like, hey, I want everybody to know. That's Brandon Merritt sucks.
This is what we're losing with all the weird editing going on Facebook. Like, you can't have friendly conversations where you shit talk anymore.
No. But
we have a plan, by the way, before you finish that. Our plan is to come up with code words for all the shit talking.
Yeah.
And then just start going full ham and Facebook can go fuck itself. Anyways.
Yeah, it says here, I got him into Drinking Bros last year and he immediately became a huge fan. So can we raise a glass and get a big, old, get fucked?
Yeah,
for
get
Brandon.
Fucked. Yeah,
yeah. Get Brandon, fucked, Brandon.
You suck at Warzone, guy.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah, fucking get better.
Yeah.
Be better.
Be better, I guess.
At life, which is something we've been trying to get Jared to do forever. Speaking of Jared, this will come out after that.
Yeah, we're doing
a
live show on Sunday, so
yep.
You've already caught that. At
you've
point.
Already missed it, so.
Congratulations, but look, if you're in the Austin area, we have a bunch of these. We have a bunch of events going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky is one. Louisville. Hit us up if you know a great bar for Friday nights, the night before the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. I'm trying to figure out a bar for that sitch.
We're not going to do a show or anything. We just want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we're going to party. And then you and I are doing a Kentucky Derby live betting show the morning of. Ordered those suits last night, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We're going to look like a couple of assholes, for real.
I remember texting you, and I was like, so do you want the one with the horsies on the suit, or do you want the horseshoes?
Yeah, I don't know why you said horsey instead of horse, by the way. I mean, I guess you have children now, so.
Yeah. I don't call it steed, because I don't know that you know what that means, you know?
That's a weird, a steed is a very specific kind of horse.
Goddamn right it is.
So I don't know why you would even say
goddamn
that.
Goddamn right it is, because it wasn't a steed on that fucking suit.
I didn't notice. I didn't really look at the horse. I just wanted the horseshoes.
I wanted the steed one. It's always nice when your friend picks the other one, because I wanted the other one, but it was sold out. So I had to go with the roses suit.
Mm.
The run for the roses
suit. That's fine.
So that'll be a good time. We'll be in Louisville, and we'll try to do a meetup and hang out with everybody, and then do a show in the morning before the Derby starts about all our bets on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double that deposit on mybookie.com. We're going to be betting on the Derby and then attending it live in person. Should be a blast. I have not heard whether or not Kentucky's open or what the fuck their story is.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
So
it's going to be open for me.
Well, I know there's 30,000 people at the Derby.
What is it usually? What's capacity there?
130?
130, yeah.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
So it's going to be, we're going to get a real experience here.
It'll be one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling somebody about the Masters, too. I was so pissed off. I was like, you'll never get the Masters at 20% capacity where you can just.
I think that that'd be rad for the Masters. I don't know if I'd be into it for the Kentucky Derby.
I am going to be into it because I can still do all that stupid shit without people bumping into me all the time.
Yeah.
Although I will say this. I was at the Grand Canyon last weekend,
or
the weekend before last, I guess. And, man, I was so angry.
The Grand Canyon?
Yes.
So much beauty?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't the beauty. It was that we have all of this, and there's still some mouth-breathing Midwestern fuckface standing right here breathing on my neck.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. I came here to not see you.
Yep.
You know, specifically you fat turd, get the fuck out of here. But no, every time you turn around, it's some fucking dum-dum standing right there like, oh, man, I don't know what to do with it. It's like you haven't been outside before. Like, what is all this?
The Grand Canyon's huge.
It is. It's fucking huge. There's so much space. There's like, there's 25 lookouts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there weren't even that many people there. I think maybe in total for the 2 hours I was there at the viewing spots taking pictures and shit, maybe saw 150 people. Maybe.
Yep.
But somehow still, there's the one mouth breather that's just standing right there. It's like, it's like that episode of It's Always Sunny when Dee's on the bus and the dude just like standing right there next to her breathing out of his mouth. And she goes, could you just not do that? And he throws up on himself.
Yeah.
That's what it's like to be at the Grand Canyon. Fuck the Grand Canyon. Fuck nature. Although I got some really cool pictures there.
I bet. You have the best camera of all time in that lens.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, Eva Marie was actually hiking through the canyon while I was there. I'm like, why didn't you fucking say something, man?
Wow, it's a big canyon, Dan.
No, but she was like, we could have fucking got dinner because her and Jonathan and all those and one of her friends was there. I'm like, yeah, we could have.
Yeah.
But I can't read your mind.
Yeah,
dude.
Obviously. I was working late the other night with Fake Dan here, and he told me a crazy story about somebody dying in the Grand Canyon. And I was like, how is that possible? It just doesn't seem possible.
Oh, no, you could definitely fall over the edge in one of those.
How? That's what I asked him. I said, dude, how can you fall over the fucking edge?
People do stupid shit all the time. What do you mean? Like, the rails are, like, they're, like, belly high in some places.
Yeah. He went to a place he wasn't supposed to go and lost his footing. So.
Here's the problem. It's not fenced incredibly well. Like, there's spots where you can sneak through and climb out onto rocks and get a better look.
Yeah.
I would recommend taking the look you were provided.
Yeah. You really don't want to go off. The trail at any national park. There was
is wrong with you?
There was a person a couple years ago who was on like a little post-college like Rumspringa find himself like trip or whatever, and he went to Yosemite, went off the trail, and was like, I'm gonna skinny dip in a hot spring, he dissolved because it was acid.
Oh my god damn it dude
Yeah.
Yeesh.
And so no one found him
ever
because he didn't exist anymore physically.
Have a
so what you're saying is if you got a body you need to get rid of.
do you have that location or
yes, drop me a pin to that.
Also that asshole in Into the Wild or whatever, he ate the wrong berries and died like a dickhead alone.
Yeah. Don't eat the berries in the wild, man. Just fucking find a squirrel, rip its head off and eat everything.
Get the squirrel
like died, seriously.
Dude.
Yeah, it's easy. Squirrels are fucking idiots.
If that squirrel die is a delicate.
You can. I'm not even kidding. You can crush up an acorn and in the palm of your. I promise you this works. You can crush up an acorn in the palm of your hand. I did this when I was like 8 years old all the time to catch squirrels because I like to fucking. I was trying to rehabilitate. It's not the right word.
The squirrel.
I was trying to make one my pet.
Okay.
Because they're pretty. They like nuts so much and they're stupid that you can convince them to fucking hang out. And when I actually Jeff Taylor and I had a pet squirrel named Steve. For a year, and then Steve had kids, and we're like, "You piece of shit!"
Yeah,
I don't know
who got the squirrel.
Who got it?
Who fucked it?
What do you mean, who fucked it? Or what do you mean, who got it?
Like when Steve went off and had kids, like, did you guys say, "Hey, man, can I take the squirrel?" Or who's taking it?
No, it's a squirrel. But as a child, I wanted a squirrel for a pet because I thought they were funny and cute. They jump around and shit, and they also like nuts. And it seemed easy because they would approach me all the time. Animals would approach me all the time. When I was a child, I had a pet crow for a while named George. He would fucking sit on my arm when I was at the bus stop outside of my house. Mm-hmm. He would just sit there and hang out.
Yeah.
And little did they know I was mass murdering animals all the time.
Sure.
Anyways, not true. But the squirrel thing, you crush up an acorn in your palm and just fucking sit down on the ground Indian style and don't move and just leave your palm there. And they will walk right onto your palm.
You just go to a college campus and a squirrel will just... come up on your
shoulder. If you go to a fucking place that has a lot of foot traffic, squirrels are a little too actually the ones in the dog park next to my place have gotten a little out of hand.
Yeah,
they're starting to taunt the dogs. Mm-hmm. Like this one squirrel, I got some video of it, maybe I'll post it someday, but this one squirrel is sitting on top of a limb, but it's only about 6 or 7 feet in the air, and it's just staring down at my dog, just staring at him. And then my dog runs over to the other side and the squirrel turns around and stares at him more. And I'm like, are you flexing, dude? What's going on here? Like, you can't get up here, bitch.
There's something to it.
I think he's trying to intimidate him.
We did a story. One of the crime corners on Ross Patterson Revolution was a guy in Alabama who was feeding his squirrel meth.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. And, trying to make it into an attack squirrel.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes. Yeah.
Mickey J. Pollock or Paul. I'll never forget his name. I hit him up on Facebook and asked him to come on the show. And he said, yes, he would come on the show.
Like, the squirrel or him?
Him.
What did he end up? Did he get in?
Well, he got arrested like 2 days later, so we never got to do the episode.
Oh,
I see. Fuck, man. He's out now. We're Facebook friends. Isn't that weird?
What did he get charged with exactly? Was it like animal endangerment or whatever
You're not allowed to have pet squirrels, I think.
Well, you're also not allowed to give squirrels meth, I would imagine.
No.
Or possess meth or whatever else, right?
Yeah. I'm imagining 12-year-old Dan with like a horde of squirrels at his like beckoning. Sicking them on people?
No, I wouldn't do that because I don't want to put the squirrels in danger. People can just stomp a squirrel. And besides that, if I wanted to get violent, I would do it myself. I'm not going to rob myself of that opportunity and give it to a bunch of bitch ass squirrels. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that. Get out there in the open, people. We're going to be meeting and greeting. We'll be in Louisville on May 1st and 2nd for the Derby and April 30th. So April 30th, that night, the Friday night, May 1st at the Derby. Tickets are available on drinkingbrostickets.com.
Then we'll be in Dallas 7, 8, 9 probably?
Yes, and we'll be in Dallas on 7, 8, 9, May 7th, 8th, and 9th. The 8th will be at the Canelo fights. Tickets will be available for that as well.
Yeah.
And then maybe the Mariners game on Friday night or
Sunday. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Either way. But you can come on out to that. It's good to see people out and about. They were just panning to some of the hot ass women at the Cubs game.
Yeah. And I saw a very American thing, which was a Pakistani guy or a Sikh, one of the two. With an American flag mask on.
Yeah.
You like to see that.
Yeah.
Sikhs are good people. We're not going back to that whole Wisconsin thing, but that's one of the dumbest things that's ever happened. That dude that tried to mask kill a bunch of fucking Sikhs. Like, you don't know the difference, dude. You got a phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Just take a picture of him and ask Facebook, hey, is this a Muslim? Like, if you're going to be that big a piece of shit, at least be accurate.
People are dumb, dude.
People are really fucking dumb.
Really
and
dumb.
Sikhs are, like, the nicest people of all time, by the way.
Yeah, they're fucking Sikh,
of all
dude.
The fucking people that you could fuck with.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Idiots. I like Sikh people.
Yeah. What's your favorite Sikh food?
I mean, they're Indian, so it's Indian food a lot.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't know if there's specific Sikh food.
All right.
But I do love Indian food.
Test
obviously.
Your
tikka masala.
Yeah, you bet.
It's the shit.
You bet.
Although I don't think they would put chicken on it because they're all vegetarian over there. That's kind of an American thing, isn't it?
Fuck if I know, dude. You know, I'm a American food guy all the way. Where it's like, Even Mexican food, I like it to be Americanized.
Not
sour cream all over that.
Well, it depends. Yeah, I like Tex-Mex food a lot. Yeah. I think that's just because I grew up eating it. But for when I'm going Indian or Korean or something like that, I'm not really interested in fusion. Okay. Like, I like Loro here. That's interesting because it's barbecue and it's meat. And let's, I mean, honestly, if you do any meat fusion, I'm in. Okay. Doesn't matter what it is. But
by the way, you had the best line of the month so far. Mm. I suggest you take the view that you were provided.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice in life.
And we're going to leave on that now because that's important. Mm-hmm. Take the view you were provided out there. For D'Anthony, I'm Miles Patterson. This is the show.